Are there seat belts on your chairs? You're going to need them. We may not get through this week. If we don't, the next time I speak, we'll finish it. I love that, but you don't have to do that. It's interesting that we got around to, I told the elders I was going to speak on this sometime, but we got around to devouring curses in the month of Aviv, the month in which Passover, the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, devoured every curse and made an end to every curse structure. Isn't that what Proverbs 26, verse 2, the second half says? An undeserved curse cannot come to rest. You can read ahead all you want. Because everyone looks exactly the same. Has everyone got a copy that wants a copy? Over the past several years, I've spoken on knowing what is real so that you know how to fight. If we know the truth, then we can easily discern the counterfeit and we'll know when it's our fight and what it is we're fighting against. See, if we don't understand how the enemy has counterfeited the fruit and the gifts of the Spirit of God, then we don't know how he's tainted every good and perfect gift that Father has sent us. So hopefully you've been able to wage some good warfare by knowing how to discern what is of the Lord and what is not of the Lord. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible is Romans chapter 12. I used to quote it to myself on my way to work every day. As a matter of fact, I used to train executives on how to work together as a team out of Romans chapter 12, about verses 6 through 10. But in verses 6 through 8, we read in the Amplified Bible, having gifts, faculties, talents, and qualities that differ according to the grace that is given us, let us use them. He whose gift is prophecy, let him prophesy. He, according to the proportion of his faith, he whose gift is practical service, let him give himself to serving. He who teaches, to his teaching. He who exhorts or encourages, to his exhortation. He who contributes, let him do it in simplicity and liberality. He who gives aid and superintends with zeal and singleness of mind. He who does acts of mercy with genuine cheerfulness and joyful eagerness. I'm going to have to try and figure out how to work this thing on an angle. My mouse keeps sliding. There you go. Do I want a mouse? I want a mouse trap. This one keeps moving. There, I think I got it. No, I don't need a pad. I have a coaster. So let's read this passage one more time. I'm going to read it from the Message. Let's go ahead and be what we were made to be without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other. We could stop right there. That's what the enemy wants us to do. Compare ourselves to each other. Or trying to be something we aren't. If you preach, just preach God's message, nothing else. If you help, just help, don't take over. If you teach, stick to your teaching. If you give encouraging guidance, be careful that you don't get bossy. If you're put in charge, don't manipulate. If you're called to give aid to people in distress, keep your eyes open and be quick to respond. If you work with the disadvantaged, don't let yourself get irritated with them or depressed by them. Keep a smile on your face. Sue always has a smile on her face. That's a blessing. Lord, I ask that you would show us in your word how your enemy has been trying to devour the blessings that you have for your sons and daughters. I ask, Lord, that you would show us how the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has defeated and made a public spectacle of every one of your enemies and made a mockery of them so that they no longer have any effect and we can make them of no effect in our lives, our marriages, and our families in Jesus' name. Tonight, and maybe if I don't get done tonight, the next time I share, I want to give you an overview on seven devouring curses that attempt to steal, kill, and destroy the redemptive gifts that Father has put in everyone he's created. If you remember, we did a brief teaching on the redemptive gifts, that whether Father's gifts are in everyone that's created, whether they're saved or not. And so the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy the presence of Father in our lives and in the lives of those that we're called to pray for. So let's start with the first gift and look at what the enemy's attempt to destroy those that Father has given to it. Now, the way we're going to do this, this is a summary of a whole bunch of teachings by Arthur Burke. So if you know Arthur Burke's teaching, he's an excellent, well-biblically founded teacher on spiritual warfare. And so this summarizes a series that he's done on these curse structures. The way that we're going to do each of these, you'll see in this first one, I'll give you the name of the curse. We'll read the scripture, or I'll give you the scripture, because in some cases it's a whole chapter of scripture, and I assume that you will go read it. We'll look at the redemptive gift that is associated with it, then we'll look at some of the implications of this curse. By the way, all of us are under or have been under one of these curses. Series and networks of churches and regions are under one or all of these curses. So when we redeem the land, this is what we're taking them free from. So you know why I got interested in this. Several years ago, Ron and Lisa and Casey and I were talking about the curse structure that was over a series of churches across New York State and Pennsylvania. And Ivan Dockstader mentioned something to me in a conversation one day, and I got really interested in what that was. And he said that we were under the Jotham curse, which we'll get to either tonight or next time. So the Aramean curse we see spoken of in Judges chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. I'm going to read out of the New American Standard. The sons of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, that never happens in Rochester, does it? We've never done, and the body of Christ has never done anything evil in the sight of the Lord. And they forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and the Ashtaroth. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, so he sold them into the hands of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the sons of Israel served Cushan-Rishathaim 8 years. When the sons of Israel cried to the Lord raised up a deliverer for the sons of Israel to deliver them, Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel. When he went out to war, the Lord gave Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hands, so that he prevailed over Cushan-Rishathaim. Then the land had rest for 40 years, and Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. The redemptive gift that's associated with this curse is prophecy. So this curse is coming against those who have the redemptive gift of prophecy, or cities that have the redemptive gift of prophecies. Every one of these curses will have a lie associated with it. The legitimacy lie for the Aramean curse is, I am legitimate and I can solve problems and fix things. I'm a PhD chemist. I know how to solve things, invent things, and fix things. Therefore, I'm legitimate. That's the lie of this curse. You can put anything in it you want. We're in really good shape because we have a balanced budget in the county of Monroe. Do you see how the lie works? It tells you you're okay. So let's define legitimacy. I looked at Webster's 1828 dictionary. This is for Lisa. The first, lawfulness of birth. You are legitimate if you have a lawful birth as opposed to bastardy or conception out of wedlock. So the first connotation of legitimacy is your birth line. Number two, genuineness opposed to spuriousness. In other words, if you are genuine, the legitimacy of your conclusions is not to be questioned. So if you've got the proof, if you've got the data, if you've got the stuff, then you're legitimate. The legitimacy lie is the whisper of the enemy that wears down the mind. I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm okay. And before you know it, you're swallowed up by the thing that surrounded you because you're okay. I'm okay because I can always move. I can always walk away. I can fix this. But you get victory only through the blood of the cross and the word of the Lord that's found in Isaiah 54:17. You overcome because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. But Isaiah 54:17 says that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that whispers or riles against you, you shall condemn. That is the inheritance of the saints. You have the authority of the victory of the cross of Jesus Christ to tell every one of these whispering lies to shut up and be gone. Now I can put it in the old King James, shutteth thy mouth, goeth hence. Okay? So every one of these curses is going to have a legitimacy lie, something that it will whisper to those that are underneath it. We're going to look at personal manifestations of the curse, and then we'll also look at community manifestations. The first personal manifestation of this curse is if you can't solve your problems in the context of civil law, then you may be under this curse. In other words, if these are the laws of the land and you can't fix your problems inside the boundaries that are established for you, you might be under this curse. Maybe our nation is under that curse right now because we got all these people who want to go outside the law to try and keep those that are moving inside the law from changing the law. Number two, you are continually facing lawsuits or get injustice in basic business dealings. If you're continually facing a lawsuit or you can never get justice in your basic business dealings, you may be under the Aramean curse. Number three, you cannot get justice in an established system. In other words, the system that we're living in never provides just justice. Justice from Father's perspective, not man's. Community manifestations of the curse look something like this. Courts are corrupt. Even with appeals, you cannot get justice. Courts are corrupt, and even with appeals, you can't get justice. Did you hear about the district attorney? I can't remember what city they were in. They've been in for at least a decade, and they got indicted yesterday for accepting tens of thousands of dollars of bribes from businesses to change court rulings. Perhaps that area is under an Aramean curse. The second manifestation, community manifestation of the Aramean curse is that cities, churches, and businesses face changing rules and regulations so that justice never applies. It cannot get applied because the rules always change. We used to say, all we need is a level playing field. If the playing field's not leveled and justice can't be obtained by cities, churches, and businesses, then perhaps the region is under an Aramean curse. So, what was the cause of this curse? What we see in Scripture is that, number one, someone sought lawless power in order to solve their problems. Anytime someone takes matters into their hand outside of the scope of the law to solve problems, or they intend to use natural law to solve problems and fix things, then you might be operating under an Aramean curse. There might have been something that was set up. Number two, past generations partnered with occult prophetic powers. We know that that happened in the Rochester region with the advent of Spiritism through the Fox sisters. They contacted false prophetic powers to try and get something. Number three, political authority is sold to the occult community in exchange for power. Political authority is sold to the occult community in order to get power. We know that that is what abortion is all about. That the blood of the innocent is literally being committed to Satan in worship services at midnight. And that politicians and people, and this is documented by former Satanists, go and buy the ability to go into those ceremonies and get blood authority to change laws. I think Ivan taught a little bit about that when he was here. There might be an Aramean curse operating in those areas. So there's redemptive blessings that we get when we get out from under this curse. Number one, you have basic security from intrusion in your life. You have basic security from intrusion in your life, spiritually as well as naturally. Number two, you have a legal system that works, that is, that it's able to function within a normal parameter for getting justice, so you don't have to keep jumping through a new hoop to have the legal system that's in place work for you. Number three, you are no longer pursued by a devouring spirit. And number four, there's a tremendous, spontaneous flow of favor. I'm ready for that. I debated last night about going to a prayer meeting that I'd been invited to. Been invited three times over the last 3 weeks. I didn't know the people, I didn't know the church, didn't know anything about it. But I read a prophetic word from Doug Addison yesterday morning that said, if you step out of your normal routine, you'll move into the blessings of the Lord. So I went to the prayer meeting last night because I want that spontaneous flow of favor. So what is the authority that we gain when we overcome this curse? We get to be those that embrace the problem that God has assigned to us. You know, whenever there's a problem in our lives, it's usually an opportunity that's been cleverly disguised by the enemy. Oh no, I got another flat tire. Well, maybe it's because if I had just zipped out of the driveway, I would have ran into something. So I need to look beyond what the problem is and let the Lord show me how to solve it. That God has assigned. So I don't have to take on the assignments of the enemy. I'm not going to get into that. Yes, there is a very high level occult power in the world that is selling favor. And yes, many in Washington are a part of that. And no, Mr. Trump is not, and that's what he's running into. So what you are seeing is a spiritual battle with a bunch of Muppets or puppets mouthing their parts, and I know God will win. There was a prophetic word last October that we will go through 9 months of a very roller coaster ride, that things will not be smooth. Have they been smooth? No, the prophecy is real. That winds would blow in March. Did winds blow in March? Second strongest ever in this region. Are winds blowing in Washington? Oh, yes, and they're coming out of New York State. In the Senate and the House. So, number two on the authority. Those that have chosen to tap into the power of God to solve their problems walk in the redemptive blessing. So if I choose to tap into the power of God, where does his power come from? His Spirit and his Word. If I choose to tap into the power of God to solve my problems, I get set free from falling back into this curse. So you see how we're going to do the next six. The second curse is the Moabite curse. The Moabite curse we see in Judges chapter 3, verses 12 through 30. I'm not going to read that. You can read that. The redemptive gift that this curse devours is the serving gift. So if you have a gift of serving, or we are in a region of serving, the Moabite curse is trying to take away the grace of that gift. The legitimacy lie that comes with the Moabite curse is, I can build a platform for success under others. Basically, people under this curse have a savior mentality. Well, I can rescue my business. Well, I can do this. Well, I can do this. Well, why do I need Jesus when we take it to its ultimate? And that's the lie of the enemy. Personal manifestations of the Moabite curse. Number one, money is devoured before it gets to you. I'm not saying you shouldn't do this, but I'm not a big proponent of borrowing my tax return before it comes to me. Because already someone has started to take a piece of it before you even get it. They didn't give you that loan for free. Do you see how that works? So very subtly, the Moabite curse, before money comes to you, it gets devoured. Or you're blocked from making money. I invested in this sure thing. Everybody else made money, but the day I invested in it, and I can relate to this, the day I invested in it, it disappeared. Number two, you see promises broken continually. Maybe I grew up under this in relation to one of my uncles who promised every year multiple times, especially when I mowed his yard, that he was going to take me to the Buffalo Zoo. I've been to the Buffalo Zoo once. I think it was 1986. I took Casey and our kids there. When you see promises continually broken, there might be a Moabite curse structure in place. Number three, your boundaries are continuously violated. The Moabite curse is often accompanied by the predator-victim spirit. We need boundaries. Father gives us boundaries and he tells us to establish boundaries. And sometimes, like this year, he says, expand your boundaries. But if your boundaries are constantly violated, which is what the Moabites did to the Israelites, then there might be a Moabite curse. Number four, honor does not accrue. You are always paying your dues. In other words, there's no honor that is building in your testimony. There's no honor that's building in your legacy. You're always having to pay one more thing to be accepted. You always have to do one more thing to get into the club or the inner circle. Number five, your authorities, parents, teachers, employers, will not build a platform of success under you. Those that are in authority of you will not build a platform of success under you. They're supposed to. That's what authority is for. If we follow Jesus' model of leadership, he served the disciples so that they could go forward and be successful at taking his kingdom forward. That's what the fivefold ministry is supposed to be about. It's not about serving the pastors, the apostles, the evangelists, the teachers, or the prophets. It's about them equipping you to be able to go do what Jesus created you to do. So if you see that your authorities are not giving you the ability to mature in the things of the kingdom, then there might be a Moabite curse structure in place. You can probably see that in a lot of places that we may have come from. I visit a lot of congregations. I visit a lot of churches around the world. And some of them, it's pretty clear. And so you just bless them. You do what you're there for. And if they want to be set free, you can help them get set free. So what are some community manifestations of the curse? Number one, there are boundary conflicts. There's a constant change of political parties and a changing of rules. I wonder if the United States of America is under that curse. Do you know that every time there's a change in political parties, they gerrymander, they change your districts so that they have new lines of authority and votes? And if they can't do that, they take authorities to court and challenge them. Boundary conflicts. Number two, promises go unfulfilled. There is no life-giving synergy from generation to generation. If you see promises that are not fulfilled from parents to children and children to grandchildren and so forth, then there might be a generational Moabite structure operating. Number three, there is no life-giving relationship from the city to not-for-profit organizations. And actually, the cities will fight against not-for-profits. There is no life-giving relationship from the city to not-for-profit organizations. In other words, they want the not-for-profits to not be around. Because the function of most of these not-for-profits, including what we know as the body of Christ, is to do the work of most social ministry. Feed the sick, heal the sick, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit those in prison. But why don't we just pay the government to do it? Whoops. Do you see how now the scripture's been violated? Because one thing that was supposed to be good in the sight of the Lord, biblically, quoting to Romans chapter 13, has now usurped another thing that the Lord said his bride should do. The cause of the curse, number one, authority does not build platforms for success, either individually or in a community. Authority does not build platforms for success. I'm going to give my opinion of what I think is happening spiritually in our country. I think that there is a certain person who sits at the desk in the White House, whether he knows it or not, is trying to pull down the mammon structure that's been against our land. And nobody likes that because everybody that's in authority has been bowed down to that mammon structure. Therefore, the authority called Congress has not built a platform for success for all of us to prosper, as the biblical definition of prosper is. I desire that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers, according to 1 John. So perhaps there's a Moabite curse structure in place. Number two, taking our freedom in the wrong way when freedom was not granted to us. Just because I live in the land of the free doesn't mean that I have freedom to do whatever it is that I want. Whether the media says I can or not. Number three, cause of the curse is when we remain passive under bondage. When we remain passive under bondage. On the 14th of Aviv, we're going to celebrate Passover, which was the liberation of the people. Not that they would go out and remain under bondage and feel good about being under bondage. But when you see an area where people have been passive under bondage, it's basically what we did to the Native American populace. We force them into bondage, and then we force them to be passive under bondage, or we murdered their women and children. Yes, we have a lot to repent of in our nation. The redemptive blessing comes when we have secured our boundaries and freedom to expand as God directs. When we have secure boundaries and freedom so that we can expand. Because Father's design for mankind from the garden was that there would be exponential increase from the first generation to the second to the third to the fourth on down to where we are now. I think we're somewhere around 110 generations from the garden. Number two, the redemptive blessing is that we will see generational blessing. What we see here in the book of Judges is that they had peace for 80 years. Biblically, that's two generations. In our time, it might be closer to four generations. It's at least three. But when we are walking out from under this curse, the redemptive blessing will be that our boundaries expand because they're secure, which is another thing that was a promise. We would secure our boundaries, our borders. But we'll have peace that crosses generations. How do we have authority in this? The person that was submissive and sensitive to God's timing has authority over this curse. The person that's submissive and submitted to God's timing, they're sensitive to God's timing. I was asking the Lord to show me his timing in something when we were in Vietnam, and he made it very clear so we knew exactly. Even though there were no prepared messages, we went there with no idea what they wanted us to speak on. And so we spoke at a three-day conference every day, going in just trusting that the Lord would give us something. And the last day I said, Lord, show me your timing in this. And at the end of the day, I think I already told you that the apostle over all of the churches said that's exactly what the Lord put on my heart for this city. And so he asked us to come back and teach on that. They weren't ready for it. We have to be sensitive to his timing. Number two, you gain authority, people gain authority, those who are willing to walk away from security, willing to pay any price. When Casey and I stayed in Rochester in 1986, we didn't understand the authority that was added to us as a result of obeying God, walking away from the security of a very high-level promotion and staying here no matter what it was the Lord asked us to do. The third curse is the Philistine curse. We see this in Judges chapter 3, verse 31. And it reads, "And after him came Shamgar, the son of Anath, who struck down 600 Philistines with an ox goad, and he also saved Israel. The Philistine curse will come against the redemptive gift of teaching. So for you teachers in the room, watch out for this curse structure. The legitimacy lie is, I know the truth and it gives me power. My Bible reads, know the truth and it will set you free. Jesus said, I have given you all authority. Authority is always greater than power. You see the legitimacy lie there? Personal manifestations of the curse. When you cannot earn what you are worth. Remember, the Philistines were the ones that the Israelites had to go and have their tools sharpened by, because they weren't allowed to have blacksmiths for fear that they'd make swords. Can you imagine how sharp their tools were when they went to the enemy to get their tools sharpened? Do you think their axes cut down trees real easy? I don't think so. Oh, it's a Hebrew. Okay, it's done. You can't earn what you're worth. Number two, you are missing one key resource to be able to possess all other resources. One key resource is missing. I used to, when I was a chemist, I used to have a cartoon that hung on my wall about bad things that happened, but the law, different laws that would happen, and one would be, the last thing you need is always missing for your reaction. Therefore, you have a boom. And the cartoon showed this guy with stuff all over the place with one missing ingredient. A cookie is not a cookie without something sweet in it. Unless you're in England. Then they call it a biscuit. The person seems to have a whole lot of good going for them, but they lack one thing that they need to move forward. The person is not able to put together the package of success that they feel God has called them to do because one thing is missing. Number three. Boy, I got a lot of typos in my notes. You do not lack a tangible thing except for favor. Everything's going great. All you need is someone to show you a little favor. This year we've been decreeing favor, the favor of the Lord over people. I got it all. I just don't have the favor of an opportunity or an open door. Number four, you cannot sustain a life-giving set of relationships. You cannot sustain a life-giving set of relationships. The community manifestation of the curse. Churches, ministries and businesses are missing one key ingredient or one key player to finalize the team. You know what Shepherd's Heart really needs? An evangelist. I heard it from two or three people. Yeah? We need an evangelist. We are all supposed to do the work of an evangelist, no matter what our call is, but we need an evangelist. The city of Rochester really needs a true evangelist, not a church builder, someone that is so passionate for the King that they expand his kingdom by equipping all of us to go out and do the work of evangelism. Is that you? I read some of your presbyteries and prophetic words. The cause of the curse. Number one, we or someone in our family line focused on codifying, defending, or implementing truth in a way that controls or limits others. We wanted to put things really legal so that we could have every one of our ducks in a row and control the way people moved. We or someone in our family line focused on codifying, which means putting into code, defending or implementing truth in a way that controls or limits other people. The truth is always supposed to set us free. Witchcraft is control and manipulation. Instead of using truth to equip, empower, and release others, truth or systems of truth are used to limit or enslave people. And that's what happened in the body of Christ for decades. We've already dealt with the women can't minister in this house and every ministry we're a part of. Every believer can minister. But for decades, the lie has been, if you're a woman, you can teach the kids, but you can't teach a man. That's another subject. Number two, people acknowledge truth but refuse to embrace it. You know the old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink? That's another way of saying this. Yeah, I know Jesus is the truth, but I don't have to embrace him. Number three, people know truth, but do not walk in it for fear of damaging relationships. Well, if I go to church, my wife may not fix dinner for me. If I go to church, my husband may get upset with me. If I really preach and live the gospel with my actions, my family may abandon me. When we stayed in Rochester, my grandmother over lunch one day said, "How could you do that to the company that served our family so well all these generations?" She couldn't understand that there was something greater than a career, and I was the one that was being groomed to quickly go up the corporate ladder. They thought I betrayed loyalty. Actually, I think I had a good sense of balanced loyalty. The redemptive blessing. You are able to enthrone Jesus Christ in your life or on the land. You are able to enthrone Jesus Christ in your life or on the land, your community. And the presence of the enthroned Lord keeps many devourers away. So when you're walking in the redemptive blessing, individually you can enthrone Christ in your life. Corporately we can enthrone him in a region. And his presence as the reigning Lord on the throne of our hearts and our community keeps many devourers away. Who has the authority? Those who proclaim and live in truth, number one. Those who proclaim and live in truth have the authority. Why do you think the enemy doesn't want us to know truth? Why do you think for almost 14 centuries he kept the word of God from the body of Christ and only the priests had the word of God? Because when you know the truth, it sets you free and you can live in it. Number two, you have authority when you leave the trail. Those who have authority will leave a trail of freedom behind them for others to walk in. In other words, it's not about me getting safely to the other side, but opening the way for many to go. We really have great pictures of that from the trailblazers in American history who laid down their lives so that families could move forward and prosper. Number three, those who have authority are those who will use something foolish, like the cross, to assault, disempower, and overcome the enemy. Those who will use something foolish to assault, disempower, and overcome the enemy. So, I'm not going to be able to get done tonight, so I will leave the remaining for next time. Next time we'll pick up with the Canaanite curse. I've got four more to go. Something foolish. The cross is foolish to those who are perishing, but so they will use something that seems foolish, like a revelation from God. Yeah. So somebody's going to believe it's foolish. Like it was foolish for us to stay in Rochester. In the eyes of all the corporate vice presidents and senior vice presidents that I worked for, it was a foolish decision to give up a step to their position. But God. Father, we thank you that it is the cross that sets us free. Lord, we thank you that it is the truth of who you are that liberates us from every lie of your enemy, that allows us to put our foot down on his mouth and see it remain closed. Lord, your word said that you made a public spectacle of the enemy triumphing over him through the cross. And we thank you that by the victory of the blood of your cross, none of these curses has a place in our life. Lord, we ask that you would cause us and quicken us to see where any of these structures may have been, either in our lives or our bloodline, so that we can put them, even as we approach Passover, under the blood of your cross, so that the death angel in these curses must pass by us and by our lineage. Lord, we cleanse ourselves now. And we cleanse our children and our children's children, even those yet to be born, and say that this curse shall not come to rest on anyone who hears this message and applies your blood to their lives and their lineage. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. There's refreshments next door. Remember, if you're going on one of the missions trips, I need to talk with you briefly. Have a blessed week.